person surrounds Romans chapter 10, verse 1 following. The passage also that was read this morning, Romans chapter 9, verse 30-33. Other texts relating to the subject will be brought to bear on the subject. Remember, last week we spoke on the righteousness of God. But you will remember the emphasis is not on the character or on the nature of God. The passage under consideration as found in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 3 is not about the fact that God is righteous. Let us hear the passage again.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
Have not submitted themselves.
They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God here is not about God's nature or character. The righteousness of God here, which must be kept in mind throughout the lesson, is God's way of making the obedient righteous. God's method in Christ in making men and women righteous. It is to be kept in mind that the people under consideration here, the Israelites, notice, Paul in verse 1 of chapter 10, notice, let us have it.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Notice now what comes after that.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
The zeal of God here refers to the deeply religiousness of the Israelites. It's not John, that. Is it John? Okay, we're glad you come back home. Good to see you, John. Yes, what did I say? That that they have a zeal of God. The zeal of God is referring to the deeply religiousness of the Israelites. But notice this now. Being deeply religious is no substitute for correctness. Somebody didn't get that. That the Israelites had a zeal for God. The Almighty God still expects that they walk on God's chalk line. You see, a lot of time we believe we are just zealous. I give my life for Christ. Well, if you are going to give your life for Christ, give it God's way. So, zeal does not replace divine correctness. Are we there? Ignorant of God's righteousness. Last week I pointed out that the Almighty God wants knowledgeable, enlightened servants of His. We cannot serve God with pure emotion. Intellect must be there, our mind. Without knowledge from the gospel of Jesus Christ, no man or woman can serve God acceptably. Let me hear the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 2. Quick. Proverbs 19, verse 2.
Also, that the soul be without knowledge.
Start again.
Also, that the soul be without knowledge. It is not good.
You hear? It's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. And you know one place where that is necessary? Wait. Here is the general idea that almost everything that we want to do correctly in life, that we learn correctly, get correct knowledge. But there is a wide thing out there in the world that when it comes to religion, just serve God the way you feel. If there's any other place where you need knowledge to make sure you are religiously and spiritually operating God's way, it's in religion. Are we there? Amen. Are we there? God's way of making the obedient righteous. Let me list some passage again that you see in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. The phrase, the righteousness of God. Watch here now. Note some other passages where the term is used, or the term used in those passages mean the same thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, see God's way of making men and women righteous. You see, this passage is not referring to the righteous nature of God. They are referring to how God planned to make man righteous. You have Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. You have Romans chapter 3. Verse 21 through 22. You have Romans chapter 9, verse 32, 33. You have Romans chapter 10, verse 3. You have Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. All these texts are on the same point. They're talking about the same thing. God's way of making man righteous. Watch here. In Romans chapter 1. Verse 17. Notice here, because I may skip that and don't comment on it. So right up front, let me hear it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we all know it. You know, I'm not ashamed
of the gospel of Christ.
For it is
the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile.
For therein,
we'll be coming back to this passage. Did you hear that? Therein what? In what? In the gospel. Is the righteousness of God
revealed from faith to faith.
What does it mean, Brother Mitchell, from faith to faith? Simply put, from a small amount of faith where you start, to a greater amount of faith. That's what the passage means. From faith to faith. You start out with Jesus Christ, with faith in him. But that faith was never meant to remain stagnant. That faith was expected to grow. So the business, from faith to faith, means from a small amount of faith to a larger amount of faith, from faith to faith. As God just said, that all the passages I have just mentioned are talking about the same one subject, God's way of making man righteous. In all these texts, the righteousness of God is conceived as going forth from God. It's divine source and realizing itself among men and women who accept God's way. That this righteousness springs from God and realizes itself in obedient human beings. Even Isaiah touched on that point in chapter 54 and verse 17. Let us hear it. Isaiah 54:17.
Although afflicted, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Start again.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
If my memory serves right, there is a gospel song based on this verse. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment.
Every tongue that shall rise against me.
In judgment.
In judgment.
Thou shalt condemn.
God shall condemn.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
And their righteousness is of me, saith
the
Lord.
Their righteousness springs from God. The righteousness of God's servant comes from God. And that means the same thing when the Bible in these passages speaks about the righteousness of God. It is the process, the righteousness of God. It is the means by which men and women are brought into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. It is God's way, God's method in making us righteous in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. It is the righteousness of which the Almighty God is the author and man is the recipient. The righteousness of God. God's way of making us righteous is the only. Start again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking. God's way of making man righteous is the only cure, the only remedy for our sin. Condition.
That's right.
Are we there? In a sense, we need double cure or double remedy. And people talk about they are not sinners. My God, that very thinking makes you a sinner in God's sight. What do you mean by double cure, Brother Mitchell? Because we are under eternal condemnation two ways in a sense. One way is that we are like a condemned criminal charged, tried, and found guilty and sentenced to death. That's one side of our condemnation. Another side is that we are like a man with an incurable disease. And that disease is going to kill him eternally. And the only cure is to be found in Jesus Christ. So you see, as sinners, if you have not come to Jesus Christ for the cure which He alone has, on one hand, you are like a condemned criminal, waiting to be executed in the eternal fire of hell. On the other side, you are like a sick man with a disease for which there is no cure but the blood of Jesus Christ. It is for that reason we need a double cure. May I? God's way of curing sinner is specific.
Wait.
God doesn't have some religious way that exists in flux. You do your own thing, I do what I like. The other person does what he likes once you are sincere. There is no such thing, and this is why you notice the passage under consideration, Romans chapter 10, verse 1 following. We are the people under consideration, dear the Israelites, were deeply religious. You notice that? They were not men and women out there just doing what they want. They were religious. In fact, they thought they were serving God. But you see, because God's way of making men and women righteous is specific, we have to walk on God's track line. This is why you have passages like Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 and verse, 39. Your passages like Acts of the Apostle 19, verse 1 through verse 4. In Acts 19, I'm just using these texts as illustration. You have Paul telling the Jews what? Verse 39. Quick, now, brother, arrest the sermon. Will be 4 hours instead of and 2 hours. That's right. Romans chapter, did I say chapter 13, verse 39? Let me have it.
Acts 13:39.
Mm-hmm.
And by him, all that...
Paul is preaching to the deeply religious Jews. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? Because God's way of making men and women righteous is specific. Did I say specific? Well, let me say, is specific. God has this track line doctrinally, morally, religiously, that we must walk up. Because it is specific. Paul is telling the Jews that even religion that look like Christianity won't work. Listen.
And by him, all that believe...
By Jesus Christ.
All that believe are justified from all things,
uh-huh,
from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Brother Blake, the law of Moses is a religion. And you hardly have anything come as close to Christianity as the Jewish religion. But Paul is telling them that merely being religious will not help you to stand right before God. It doesn't matter how zealous you are. Paul is saying you cannot be saved this way. But, Brother Paul, this is a religion given by God to the Jew. Paul is saying God has canceled that. Christianity is now the religion. That was Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. Look now. At Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, or 3. Read.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth,
Paul,
having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples.
Wait. These are again religious people. Everybody gets it? And these are people not necessarily living by the law. They were living by the teaching of John the Baptizer. But my God, Brother Mitchell, John is considered one of the greatest servants of God that has ever lived. Inspiration testifies that of all those who are born of woman, there is not any that is greater than John. Are we there? These people were disciples of John. They thought they were right in God's sight. They felt good about their religion. But you see, they were wrongly led. That religion too had been canceled out by God. When Christianity came into existence, everything else, God put it one side. The religion of Jesus Christ needs no competition. Man-made doctrine and church and religion today is competing with the pure New Testament religion of Christ. That's why so many men and women are going to have shock on the day of judgment. But let me tell you, let the passage finish speaking. Let it finish speak, brother.
And he said unto them,
Paul said unto these disciples,
Have ye received the Holy Ghost?
Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
And they said unto him,
Wait, remember. Believe here is a synecdoche. Which means it is one word that stands for the entire plan of salvation. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Believe here means since you have become a child of God, because Paul thought they were children of God. But watch here now. Watch here now.
And they said unto him,
And they said unto Paul,
We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
We don't even know what you are talking about when you mention Holy Ghost. Watch here, Paul realized right there that something is wrong with their religion. And
he said unto them,
Wait, the brother, take time with me. And Paul, being experienced, knew that whatever was wrong start with the teaching they got. So that's what he's going to focus on. And he said unto them,
Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism.
Wait. I hope I haven't lost you. I've shown one case in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13 and verse 39, that even that which comes close to Christianity will not do for God. I'm showing here another case. They said unto John's baptism. Brother Mitchell, does that mean they were baptized? Yes. Well, why Paul is making a big thing? Since they were baptized, everything is not okay. Resemblance is not identity. That what you or I are doing look like Christianity. That what you or I are doing resemble Christianity and is passed off as Christianity to ignorant human beings doesn't mean that God accepts it. He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. So they were in fact baptized. Watch here now.
Then said Paul.
Paul realized that they are way off. Then said Paul, John verily baptized.
With the baptism of repentance.
Saying unto them.
That they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
When they heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
You notice when men and women sincerely want to be saved, they do not question and quarrel with you and with God's word. They realize that in spite of their deep religiousness, thinking they were serving God, they were wrongly led. So once Paul explained John's baptism and explained that they were out of place in God's sight, in their sight, they felt they were servants of God. But by God's standard, wait, use another term, Brother Mitchell. By the righteousness of God, they were like alien sinners. They got baptized. Now they became children of God. It shows that even that which is close or resembles Christianity will not be accepted by God. Are we there? Are we there? Brothers and sisters, look at Romans again, chapter 3, verse 12 and 13.
They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable.
Remember I said that we suffer from a double problem where we need help and cure? This passage is showing us how that we are lawless and that we are diseased spiritually. Let me hear again, Brother Blake.
They're all gone out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're all together become unprofitable.
Mm-hmm.
There is none that do it good.
Mm-hmm.
No, not one.
Mm-hmm.
Their throat is an open sepulcher.
Their throat is an open sepulcher.
With their tongues they have used deceit.
Mm-hmm.
The poison of us is under their lips.
The poison, this is describing the sinfulness of man. Look now at verse 13 finished. Look at verse 23.
For all have sinned.
All, not some. All have sinned.
And come short of the glory of God.
And come short of the glory of God. Then when you step down to Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages
of sin
is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the righteousness of God. May I? Here are some facts and truth that you must know about this righteousness. We are going to list a few things. Not sure time will allow us today to get through all of them. Here are some things about the righteousness of God. That is God's way of making man righteous. That you must know if you are going to stand right before God. Read the text again, brother, please. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 3. Just to refresh our mind before we discuss some further truth here.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Remember then that religious zeal does not replace divine correctness. Read.
For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Look here now. One. I'm listing a few things about God's righteousness which we must know. One. Ignorance. Ignorance at the way God is going to make men and women righteous. Are we there? Carries a lot of terrible consequences both here and hereafter. Ignorance of how God planned to make men and women righteous carries terrible consequences both here and hereafter. That means you and I cannot afford to be ignorant. And that is, don't be satisfied with religious generality. Learn some of the specific things. When the Apostle Paul, an inspired man, had to baptize some people over because the Holy Spirit in him helped him to understand that these people, even though they thought they were saved, they weren't saved. So ignorance. Look, in the same passage, showing us some of the consequences that ignorance lead to. In fact, verse 8 through 10 of chapter 11. Remember, when Paul wrote, the Bible was not divided into chapters. It was one straight letter. And part of chapter 11 is part of the context that Paul is speaking on the same subject. Let us hear the consequences of ignorance. Romans 11, 8 through 10.
According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that, Brother Blake. Start again.
According as it is written.
According as it is written.
God hath given them the spirit of slumber.
Who gave them?
God.
Who gave them?
God.
When God sees that men and women so hang on to their false, ignorant, religious way, that they do not want to submit to God's way, God going to make them ignorant of His way. Strong delusion.
Yeah.
Don't let me get there, please. Yes, God gave them the spirit of slumber.
Eyes that they should not see.
Eyes that they... Wait, this doesn't mean that they are physically blind, you know. It just means they are reading God's word every day and still don't see the truth that they are to see. Eyes that will not see.
And ears that they should not hear.
Hear that they should not hear. They hear the truth, but they do not like it. Read on.
And David said, let their table be made a snare.
David said, let their table be made a snare.
And a trap. And a stumbling block.
Uh-huh.
And a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see.
Can you believe it?
And bow down.
Wait. These are some of the terrible consequences here that comes when we are ignorant of God's way of making men and women righteous and going about to establish our own way. Are we there? Remember the Jews of Romans, of this passage, were convinced over their correctness. Are we there? But I repeat that zeal and deep religiousness does not replace divine correctness. Are we there? Second thing you need to learn about God's righteousness is this. The righteousness of God. God's way, God's method of making us righteous is to be found one place. It cannot be found in the religious tradition of men. It cannot be found in the doctrine of men. According to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, let us hear it. Because we're going to talk to about the righteousness of God. Let us hear the passage.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Read on.
For therein is the righteousness of God.
Wait, you notice this word, therein. Turn it around. It means in there. You get the point? Therein where? In the gospel, what happened?
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Are your weakness, Brother Webb, when I said that the righteousness of God is not found in church tradition? Didn't I say that? The righteousness of God is not found in denominational doctrine. Did I say that? Yes. And now I'm saying that The only place where God's righteousness is revealed, that is God's way of making men and women righteous, is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else, for therein we are, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from
faith to faith. As it is written.
As it is written.
The just shall live by faith.
Did you all get that? Brothers and sisters, may I? A third truth to learn about the righteousness of God. A third truth. What? First one, Mitchell. Ignorance of this righteousness carry all sorts of consequences here and hereafter. First one. The second one was that the righteousness of God, God's way of God's method of making us righteous, is to be found in one place only. The gospel of Christ. And thirdly, there is but one and only one righteousness of God. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? There is but one body of truth, one plan of salvation, one way in becoming Christian, in the righteousness of God. May I? If you became, quote unquote, a Christian differently from I did, that alone is telling you to do some investigation, because something is wrong. God doesn't have a way where I become a Christian this way in my church, you become a Christian that way in your church. In fact, I'll be getting a little more specific. But the fact is, there is but one and only one righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Huh? Let us look at some word that the Bible used here. We have Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let us have it again, 16 and 17. Then another brother will turn to Ephesians 4 and 5. Another brother to Jude, chapter 3. Let us hear it.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Read.
For therein is the righteousness of God
revealed.
Wait,
you read that little part too fast, brother.
For therein is the righteousness.
Brother, wait. Don't underestimate this word. The righteousness of God. The specific article here, the, is telling you that there is but one. Notice again that God, through his inspired writer, going to confirm it. You see, I am laying foundation for something here. Because you hear men talk about the Methodist faith. Eh? You haven't heard that? The Catholic faith. The Baptist faith. The Pentecostal faith. Let us see what God says. Now, the righteousness of God. Now, this is Romans chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Turn now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5.
There is one body.
There is one body. Wait, what? Read that. Mr. Blake, did you know that means there is one church?
Amen.
Did you know, brother? I should charge you for that. That's great knowledge. How many bodies?
One.
How many?
One.
Do you know that when God use one, he really mean one?
Amen. Amen.
Your name will say God can come? Yes, God can come. And don't let me get to the book of Galatians to point out to you that the Bible says that when the Almighty God in the Old Testament making a promise to Abraham and said, by thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed. Paul had to say to the Jews, God did not use plural.
Amen.
God knows the law of grammar.
Amen.
When God says one, he means one. How many body?
There is one body.
Uh-huh.
And one spirit.
Uh-huh.
Even as you are called in one hope.
Uh-huh.
Of your calling.
Uh-huh.
One Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
Take time with me, dear brother. Take time with me, dear. Take time. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Ooh, yeah. That's good stuff. Wait. This does not mean subjective faith. This does not mean the inner belief we have. Say it again, Brother Mitchell. This is not our subjective faith. I believe in God. That's not what it is talk about. There is one faith. It means there is one body of belief.
Amen.
It means there is one doctrine. So there is no way you and I can be right when you become a Christian this way and I become a Christian that way. Both of us might be wrong. But we can't be right. Because there is one doctrine, one body of teaching for all of us. Remember where we have come from, that there is one righteousness of God, one way. In fact, now this one, the righteousness of God and the definite article is telling us that he's talking about one. Here, we don't have to guess whether he's talking about two faith. We have a lot of faith today. That's right. That's right. Baptist faith, Methodist faith, but God says there is one. Mm-hmm. Here now, the book of Jude, it has one chapter, verse 3.
Beloved,
mm-hmm.
when I gave all diligence to write unto you
mm-hmm.
of the common salvation,
mm-hmm.
it was needful for me to write unto you
mm-hmm.
and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith.
For what?
The faith.
The faith!
Which was one.
Well, brother, take time. The faith! Telling us. There is only one doctrine, one body of belief.
Amen. Amen.
No. Are we there? Are we there? And it was once
delivered.
Oh my God. A lot of people don't know what that means, you know. Brother Mitchell, you should say a lot of people do not know what that means. Okay, I can say that too. Once delivered to the saints. How many times?
Once.
But people today still feel that God is giving them revelation. Every time they eat too late and have nightmare, they say God has speak to them. Foolishness. When the Bible says that it was once delivered, what was once delivered? That means the body of teaching to guide your life and my life and to guide the church. God finished talking on it 2,000 years ago. Because at the time the inspired writer was writing, it had already been delivered. That's why he used the past tense. The faith which was once delivered. Which means God is not in succeeding here telling men what to do. He has already spoken in the gospel and he's not talking to men again. People say God is silent today. Not at all. He's speaking plainly through the gospel of Christ. But a lot of people, because they lack faith in the written word, they want angels to come and wake them out of their sleep and talk to them. You will never. Something will come and wake you up. But not angel from God. That's right. Once delivered to the saints, one faith, one righteousness of God. Are we there? In fact, I'm not finished with that. I'm not finished with that. May I? Listen to these terms. And I'm going to tell you the passages where they are used. Obedience to the faith. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 7. That many priests were obedient. Notice, to the faith.
And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Y'all notice that? Obedient to the faith. You see that this is not talking about their inner belief. They became obedient to something. What? The doctrine of Christ. But listen this passage. Not only that, I'm showing you some terms, three terms that mean the same thing. Obedient to the faith is one. Obedient to the gospel is another. Brother Mitchell, obedient to the faith and obedient to the gospel are two different things. No, it's the same thing. Here is another one. Submitting to the righteousness of God. A part of the text of Romans chapter 10. All of these terms mean the same thing. What are they, Brother Mitchell? When God accused the Jews of not submitting to his righteousness, mean they were not obedient to it. That is the same as obedient to the faith, obedient to the gospel. All those terms mean the same thing. And there is but one. Read about priests became obedient to the faith. Did you read that, brother? Yeah, I know you read it, you know. I just want to reinforce it. I know you read it. That many priests were obedient to the faith.
And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Now, I want to ask a simple question. Obedient to the faith. One. Which faith? Baptist faith? No. Because there was no Baptist faith until about 1611. Methodist faith? No. That's still too late. There was no Methodist faith until about 1739. Catholic faith? No. There was no Catholic faith until about 607 AD. Anglican faith? No. There was no Anglican faith until about 1554. Pentecostal faith? No. There was no Pentecostal faith until about 1898. Jehovah Witness faith? There was none of that until about 1916. Seventh-day Adventist faith? There was none of that until about 1830. They became obedient to what, brother? The faith! But you see, today we have Catholic faith, this faith, that faith. Which of them? It cannot be all of them. Cannot! If somebody can use God's word to show me that it's all of these faith, I will sit and listen to you. That's right. Phone and set up an appointment. We can meet wherever it's convenient for both of us. That's the church's number. that when the Bible says that they were obedient to the faith, when the Bible says that we should contend for the faith once delivered, I am saying that common sense, intelligence, God's word tells me it could never be all of these different religious faiths. We need to know which one of them did these people become obedient to. These are too many faiths, and it is not any of them. It is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Manway, I'm coming down to the end of the lesson. Hopefully within a few minutes I can finish. God's way of making men and women righteous, making the obedient righteous, God's way of doing that, it is different. It is distinct. And it is superior to anything man has invented, worked out, or anything that God previously gave. You didn't hear that. So since you're asking that I repeat, I am God's way of making men and women righteous in Jesus Christ today is different. It is distinct. I add to it is unique. And it is superior to anything that man, anything religious that man has invented, anything religious that man has worked out. And even it is superior to anything that the Almighty God had previously given. Look at Romans chapter, same Romans chapter 10, 21 through 22. Read quick, brother. Time is gone. Romans 10, 21 and 22.
Not 22, but to Israel. But to Israel he said. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
Read.
That's 21.
That's it, 21. I think I need probably chapter 3, 21 and 22. Yes, that's chapter 3. That the righteousness of God without the law. That's chapter 3, 21 and 22.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Brother Blake, I had just said that God's righteousness in the gospel of making men and women righteous today is not only distinct and superior to anything man has invented religiously, man has brought in religiously, but it is superior to anything God previously gave. Listen to the passage you are reading.
But now the righteousness of God.
Now the righteousness of God.
Without the law is manifested.
Without what?
Without the law.
God had previously given the law, brother.
Yeah.
Yes! But men were never made righteous by the law. They could not be made righteous by that religious system. But the righteousness of God. Did it say the righteousness of God?
Without the law is manifest.
Wait, Brother Blake. God's way of making men and women righteous today in Christ. It is without the Old Testament system. Apart from the law. Separate and distinct from the law. Superior. The gospel of Christ. But Brother Mitchell, you said the gospel of Christ. Watch here. Look here now. Look here. Look here. Let me do this quick. Look here. Everybody can quote Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4, verse 12. For there is salvation in none other.
Neither.
Watch here, watch here. We won't have much time to work this. I would really like to work this. Yes. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In the meantime, brother, run with me quick to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. Let me hear this passage. For there is salvation in?
Neither is there salvation in any other.
In?
Any other.
Any other.
For there is none other name under heaven given by which among men whereby we must be saved.
May I have your attention? Everybody can quote this passage. But I leave something with you. When it says there is salvation, neither is there salvation in any other. The context is not contemplating other person. That is one. What it is saying, the one person in our salvation is Jesus Christ. But it is also saying there is no other teaching. You want God to show you that? Yes. So when each time now you read us, always remember, it's not just that there is salvation in no other person other than Christ. There is salvation in no other teaching other than that of Christ. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. Quick. I'm tired. First Timothy chapter 6. Read verse 3.
If any man teach otherwise.
Wait. We have the other or otherwise again, brother. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit put that here. If any man teach otherwise.
And consent not to
wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And to the doctrine. According to godliness.
It's going to tell you further down to withdraw from that person. Don't fellowship with that person. You see the implication, brothers and sisters? If any man teach otherwise, that is, it's not only the person of Christ, but the teaching of Christ is the only guide for us. I must take a 3 to 5 minutes to illustrate. I won't be able to deal with Romans 9:30-33 this morning to show that any objection to any aspect of the gospel, listen to me carefully. Any substitute to the pure teaching of the gospel. Any inclusion to the gospel that was not put there by Christ, it means a stumbling against the stumbling stone. You know, I may have to make that another sermon. That whenever men and women see, get teaching they don't like and it's there in the Bible, it means they are stumbling against the stumbling stone. But that's not what I want to show. I want you to remember this, that when the gospel of Christ talks about there is salvation in none other, it means that there is no other person and no other teaching. But watch here. Nothing man does possess. Do we possess great zeal? if it is not in keeping with the guidance of the gospel, it profits you nothing. I said I want to illustrate the righteousness of God. I come here and I give you the idea that the Holy Spirit, are we there? Mavis is here, but nobody else. Are we there? I come and preach and teach and what we practice and give you the idea that the Holy Spirit make people act emotionally, uncontrollably. The Holy Spirit will make people fall down in a bench. 3-4 people have to hold them. You have to make sure that that is found in the righteousness of God. You get the point? If there is nothing in God's way of making man righteous that support that behavior, then you are in trouble with God. You are in trouble with God. I come and I teach you that you are saved, then you are baptized. Baptism is only an outward sign of an inner grace. I need to find that in the righteousness of God. If it is not there, whoever teach that and accept it is in trouble with God. I come, I teach you that every true child of God must speak in tongues. But then in the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, Paul asks, are all apostles? No. Are all this? No. Do all speak in tongue? No. Then how comes, where did you get the falsehood from that all true child of God must speak in tongue? When God, righteousness, when the gospel, when the faith says there is no such thing. Could you give me another 3 hours to work on this? Okay, we're going to end the sermon right here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If you're here today and if you'd like to become a child of God's way. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the righteousness of God, you know. That you become a child of God, God's way. And you drop the human tradition and philosophy. And I don't even touch the fact that worship. Did you know that worship was never meant to be entertainment? Did you know that most men and women go to church to be entertained? And did you know that most denominations turn worship into entertainment? Did you know that the worshipper, we the worshipper, must not be considered when we are worshipping? The one person we must have in mind is God. Oh Lord, I feel like I would preach all day, but I'm tired. You are here today. If you have never obeyed the truth, God's way. Did you hear that? God's way. Today you can come and be a Christian according to the righteousness of God. That is according to God's way of making men and women righteous. You need to be taught. And you have taught, you have been taught enough today. You need to repent. Give up your false religious way. Repentance include that. Most of the people who got converted in Acts were converted from some religion or the other. So you must repent from all that is contrary to the will of God. You must confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. And you must be baptized for the removal of your sins. That you have been baptized already doesn't mean you have been you were properly taught and properly baptized. We are here to help you, but you know what? Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you when you obey His way of making you righteous.